Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altis Images. I'm your host Todd Dudley, and later on I'll be joined by George Cruz and Dom Day, but for now I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of ruck.co.uk and my co-host Steve Smith. Hello pal, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. Just give us a bit of give the listener a bit of context for where you are at the moment, because I've got a great view on Zoom
here. It's fantastic. I'm sat behind the wheel of a Mini Countryman in the Weatherby Services car park. It's pretty special place to be at the moment. The sun is out.
Phenomenal.
I was actually in the services, but there was an over enthusiastic steward who was, you know, mopping up every crumb as they dropped. It was something magic. I'm sure I've seen it in a film, but I can't think of what one, where every time he drops something, he just sweeps it in.
For the listener, Steve is sat just basking in the sunshine of Weatherby, framed beautifully by his steering wheel with the phone behind it. It's a seriously professional setup we've got going on, as ever, at the Not Another Rugby Podcast. But we're back, mate. That's the important thing. We're here. We're here and we're going to chat about some rugby.
I think it just shows commitment.
Exactly. Commitment to the course. Commitment to the course. That is very true. Very, very true. So this is actually our first episode since the Six Nations has started, mate. So we've got a bit to catch up on. And I think the way we'll do that is just chat about the games that are coming this week. Have a little prediction, because we love our predictions. We're always absolutely bang on. So should we dive into some predictions for this week coming?
Yeah, let's just go through them. Get them spot on, as always.
Of course. We'll save the big one for the end. But the first game of the weekend is Scotland-France at Murrayfield. So, here we go. Could this be another week that give Scotland fans too much hope? What do you think?
I'm a fan to win this week. This is the sort of game where I think they would have used to have slipped up, but I think this time they're gonna come through the test.
Yeah, I think they've probably looked a bit too good in their previous two games, haven't they? I mean, they coasted against Italy, nudged it against Ireland. And yeah, if they were to slip up against Scotland, that would be pretty French, wouldn't it? But hopefully they're over that now.
Yeah, I think for Scotland, I've said this to, you know, a couple of people, I think the last two games, even though they beat England, they've probably been two of their worst performances in the last year, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been that great all round game.
No, I wouldn't hugely disagree with that, to be honest. No, not at all. Particularly against Wales. I can't believe they didn't beat Wales. I know Wales are a different animal at home and la 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 la. But like, what are Scotland doing? Why can't they beat Wales?
Yeah, it's like you said, though. I think it was more their own unforced errors that lost them the match, or stupid decisions, you know, and that's what's cost them. And I still think their win against England was like the equivalent in football of like winning 1-0 with a scrappy own goal, you know. It wasn't exactly a thunderous victory to set them alight on a title surge.
No, not at all. No. Yeah, it's a shame, though. But what about France? They've been pretty class, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, it was a tough game against Ireland, but Ireland's probably their toughest rival for this Six Nations title. I think Ireland did very well considering, you know, the losing of Johnny Sexton. I think Joey Carpe played really well.
Yeah.
But I think France, you know, they've just got so much strength and depth all of a sudden across, especially their back line, which other teams just don't have.
Yeah. It was just a really, really bloody good game of rugby, wasn't it? Like, either team could have won it. France obviously like deserved it in the end, but it was just a proper.
It felt like a World Cup match.
Yeah, it did. It felt like a knockout World Cup match. It was just proper. And I think that's kind of like summed up by like Andy Farrell at the end looked pretty happy. He was like smiling and like he was okay, because I think he just appreciated how good a game it was. Ireland played well. France played well. France won on the day, but it was just a serious game of rugby.
Yeah, it was. And Ireland did a lot of things right. Yeah. It's just one of them where they were always going to be under pressure against that team.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially considering the start they got off to, I think they did well to just get back into the match and put in a good performance.
Yeah. Well, and outscored France in tries. It was just kind of France being fairly un-French and building a score that won it in the end. Do you think Ireland, they had a couple of chances to go for goal that they turned down. Obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Do you reckon they should have taken those, or do you like the ambition to kind of back yourself and go for the corner?
I think this is going to be sort of... I think Andy Farrell's teams will always back themselves and go for the corner.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm pretty sure he had a huge input in Chris Robshaw's decision to go for the corner in 2015.
Yeah.
Because they say that was one of the big problems, wasn't it? It was like, who was actually in charge at times of that England team?
Yeah.
And I think in that case, it was probably definitely a Farrell call.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's just the way he's always going to be. He's a gung-ho approach.
Which I like as well. I think accompanied by Mike Catt as well, I think he's of a similar kind of attitude. I think let's like back ourselves and play, which is cool to see.
Yeah, exactly. I think this Ireland team actually, under Joe Schmidt, they had like their peaks and troughs, but it feels like they're building a system here that players can come in and out and they can play good rugby. Do you know, like we said, losing Sexton before, you could have just seen them go to pieces, but they really, really, they just know what they're doing. Everyone knows their roles and what their mentality's got to be.
They're insanely accurate, aren't they? Like with their kind of phase play, their ability to like find their shape quickly and like produce set plays from broken play is absolutely insane. They do it so quickly and so accurately. It's really, really impressive to watch. Man, it's so good.
It was some of the there was like one report in Ireland which was crazy, and it was like accusing them of not having enough strength and depth in the front row because Furlong and Porter played for 72 minutes. And it's like, it's got nothing to do with the strength and depth. It's because they're their best players. It's the exact opposite of the problem that people had with Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
You want them to keep your best players on.
Yeah. It's because they're...
It's crazy.
It's because they're unbelievable and they're mega, mega fit, so they can do it. So it's fine.
Probably would net almost the two best props in the whole competition, I'd say. At the moment.
Cyril Bailly would have something to say about that, wouldn't he? But yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said almost. Yeah. I sort of stuttered on my word. I like Genji as well,
to be honest.
Pass against Italy.
Yeah, what a silly pass that was, mate. Just a little left hander over the top. What a joke.
Baby Rhino, man.
What a joke. Mate, he's Daddy Rhino now, mate. He's all grown up.
Daddy Rhino. Well, maybe with that. Well, what was your prediction? Before we move on.
Oh, for Scotland, France. Oh,
yeah.
Christ, I was trying to avoid that. Well, give me a score first for you. So you think France is going to win, but what do you reckon the score's going to be?
By 15 points.
Oh, okay. I like it. I am going to go with... I think it's probably going to be a bit tighter than that. I'll say France by 8. France by 8.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we're basically both on the same page.
But
I'll also throw in, I think France will get the try scoring bonus point.
Oh, okay. All right, punchy.
That's really punching it.
Although...
Can't wait for Scotland to win 9-6.
Yeah. Well, if they were to, like last week, Wales beating Scotland like really, really opened up the championship. It put England back into second place, which was a bizarre one. So if France were to lose this weekend, then everyone would have lost the game, which would make things very interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So if Scotland could do a job, that'd be great for the competition. But yeah, France by 8 for me.
Yeah.
We'll come back to England Wales in a bit, because then that will launch into our conversations with George Cruz and Dom Day. So let's skip to Sunday. We've got Ireland versus Italy. Probably don't need to spend loads of time on this one, but what do you reckon?
Let's just say Ireland by 35.
Yeah.
Being conservative.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. And actually not because... I actually think Italy look okay. Their issue is that they're just not quite good enough in defence and they're not quite good enough in attack, which is quite a big issue for rugby.
I think they defend pretty now. Yeah, I think Italy are doing really a lot of good things, but I think... They play too narrow. They defend well, but narrowly.
Yeah.
And I think against Ireland of all teams, with Conway and James Lowe or Mark Hansen or whoever he decides to play, they're quite a... Like, they've got lots of whiff. Like, without England didn't play with much width, but when they did, that's when they actually scored. They had Jamie George out wide scoring twice, so they have been getting the ball out wide a bit more.
I think that Ireland's ability to get wide really, really quickly with those wraparound plays as well, I think it's just going to be a bit too much. And they've got like a pretty outrageous power game, pretty outrageous offloading game. Like, I just think it's going to be a bit of a tough day for Italy, just because there's a lot of like, there's a lot of threat all over the place. Like, if it's just, they can get off the line and hit people hard, like for the first few phases, but there's just too much variety and threat everywhere from Ireland, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Bundy Akita scored the first try as well, just as another one.
That's a pretty good prediction, I reckon.
He's looking really
good. He is looking very good, isn't he, to be fair? Like, I kind of thought with, like, you know, with, like, you got Henshaw, Ringrose, James Hume coming through, I kind of thought he might have had his day, but he's actually just kind of keeps getting better and better, really. Which is pretty
well. It like depends on his mood, it seems, sometimes. He's like either like a Manu Tuilagi or Leslie Panicolo.
Yeah.
It's like you're never quite sure what you're going to get.
And you're always praying for Manu, obviously.
Well, he's been Manu times two so far. I think he's looked pretty imperious.
He has looked very, very good. But, mate, you get that blast me out of your mouth, right? Manu's back.
What a way to swap onto England, you know. I'm just very good at that, you know. Seamless transition.
Segways all over the place. For what it's worth, I'm going to say Ireland by 25. I don't think they're going to blow Italy out of the water again. I think Italy are hanging in games at the moment, and I'd like to see them continue to do that. So Ireland by 25, I'm going to say. Hopefully Italy can score a try. That would be good.
That would be nice.
And then we've got the big, it's the big one of the weekend, really, isn't it? England-Wales, Saturday, 4:45 at Twickenham. Wales off the back of a scrappy but decent win against Scotland, a much-needed win, and England off the back of a solid 33-0 win against Italy. What do we think, mate?
You know, everything says that England's going to win, but it's just, how are they going to win? What team is he going to play? Are we going to have enough width? You know, I think a lot of the Wales players aren't playing as well as they can be. You know, despite that win last week, you know, they've still got a lot of players underperforming. You know, I think Lewis Rhys-Amit's, you know, really struggled.
Yeah.
I think if Josh Adams is back, that's a big, well, hopefully not back in the centre, but hopefully if he's back,
yeah,
I mean, he'll add some goal for them. I mean, it's a tough one. I think England will either win by a couple of points in what's a real scrappy game, or they might just run away with it.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those two, I think.
Yeah, I think...
Not many tries, like a 15-12 win.
Oh, I hope it's not. I do want to see some rugby. Like, we're getting it every now and again, but...
I think Wales have learned from the opening round that at the moment they're not in a place to play rugby. You know, I think against Scotland they just went for pure aggression.
Yeah, yeah.
More so than playing really nice rugby. And sometimes you just got to dig in. And I think that's where Wales will just come and try and dig a trench in the middle of the Twickenham pitch and just get in it.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Clamber in.
But I can't see it. Away from the principality, I just can't see this Wales team winning against England. I just can't see it. If it was at the principality, I'd maybe consider it. But surely England are going to have too much for this Wales team, given their current issues.
I think I'm just going to go back on everything I've said and say England by 10, but I'm not confident on that.
No. What would you? What team would you like to see Eddie go with?
I really want to see Jack Noll start. I think it was, you know, just so unlucky against Italy.
Yeah, it was
brutal. And then I want Manu in. And then I think you'll just revert net almost back to the same pack that played against Scotland, with probably Laws starting instead of Ezekwe.
Yeah. 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 I think
Ludlam will come back in.
Do you think?
I'm not sure about number eight, though. I'm not sure what he'll do there. That's interesting.
I thought Don Brandt was actually really good against Italy. Like, I thought he
did that, but that doesn't really mean anything with Eddie Jones.
I know. Of course it doesn't. I would like to see him get another game. Although Simmons has looked good as well when he's played. Like, I don't think we can really go too far wrong, to be honest.
No, I think we'll be happy either way. I think Wales's back row is very effective, very good, but they're not the heaviest bunch.
No,
I don't think.
I think they.
So it might be one where Simmons can run a bit wild, or maybe Don Brandt can smash through them. It's one of them where you could talk for hours and not really come to any sort of decision.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah, true. So if Manu's coming back in, are we having Manu and Slade, or Slade and Manu? Which way around do you want those two?
I think Slade back at 13 and Manu back at 12.
Yeah.
He's going to be using Manu like he uses Estevez, and isn't he?
Chucking the ball. Yeah.
Just give him it. I am worried about him, though, because it wasn't his last... I remember he got sent off against Wales. Was that last year or the year before?
I can't remember.
Just smashed George North.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I forgot about that.
He's got through maybe three lots of 80 minutes again for Sale, or two lots of 80 minutes and a 40 minutes or something like that. So he's been going okay. Like, just say it quietly, but he looks like he's actually in pretty good shape at the moment.
To be honest, though, everyone thinks he's going to start, but if you're Eddie Jones and you want to keep him, if you're right, you might not start him against Wales.
Yeah.
Bit of a selection risk, but, you know, do you need him to start to beat Wales? I'm not sure he does.
You probably don't. But then,
you'll need him to beat Ireland and France, though.
But does he have the kind of... it's a tricky one, because Eddie likes to cover a lot of bases with his back subs, doesn't he? In general, he likes to pick like a Daly or a Malins or a Marchant who can play all over the place, whereas Manu can like play in the centres. But I guess if you've got a couple of those other players playing elsewhere, it doesn't matter too much.
You'll probably just put Joe Marchant on the wing to just confuse everybody in the world.
Mate, I thought. Speaking of versatile wingers, I thought Malins went really well against Italy.
He's just a fantastic rugby player, Max Maitland.
He's bloody good, eh?
He's like a young Elliot Daly. Daly looks a bit like he's just been through a lot now. Doesn't look like a young, spirited player anymore.
Yeah.
There's some hurt behind those eyes.
Is he another player who is ultimately been a bit like a victim of his versatility? Because he's an outrageously talented bloke. But I don't think
it's really harsh at the moment that some people are suggesting he's only in the squad because he can boot the ball from far away.
Yeah, that is stupid. Yeah. He's better than that. He can do that as well. He can kick it a long old way. But
yeah, but he really made a home for himself on the wing. I don't know when things started to go, you know, sort of up. When did Jones start playing him everywhere else? It was that move to fullback, I guess, that killed him.
It really was. Like, I think Eddie was like, yeah, we're going to turn him into the best fullback in the world. And it just didn't quite work, did it, unfortunately?
No. But it definitely didn't. Because he was at you think of like the Lions in 2017, he was regarded as one of the best wingers in the world.
Yeah.
And
it's
sort of stock.
Well,
you look back at that squad in 2017, he's one of the players where the stock's really dropped.
Yeah.
In that time afterwards,
I still think his best position is 13. I'm pretty adamant about that. Like the way he used to, on the wing, to be honest, because that's when
I thought he was playing best.
I just used to love his outside break, like from because he's so fast. He's like when he just like drift to receive the ball and outside break from 13. I just thought was class. His defense probably wasn't unreal at 13, but. But on the ball, I liked him there. But
I think it was one of them, wasn't it, where Slade took that shirt. Yeah. And he managed to make his mark in another one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Shout out to Sladey for getting his mullet chopped off as well, by the way. He's back to his former beautiful self now he sorted his hair out. I'm pleased to see that.
Thank God. It's about time.
I know. I don't know what to say really about England. I think England are going to win, and I think it should be comfortable. But then, is that just my English arrogance coming through? I don't know. I don't know what to think.
We're entitled to our arrogance. It's what we do.
We're entitled to being entitled. That is an excellent.
Yeah,
that is an excellent statement to make. I'm going to say, let's give a score. I'm going to say England 22, Wales 14.
So England by 8. I went for by 10. Eight. So we're in the same ballpark.
We're in a similar kind of ballpark. I'd love to see England just like click a bit more this week and just turn it on. Which I think they're not far away from doing, to be honest. So that would be
no. That's what I mean. It could just click and it just goes silly.
Yeah. Which would be amazing to see. When a team's announced, mate? Do you know? Be Thursday-ish, will it?
Thursday 11:30, I think.
Okay.
But right. Knowing England, they might just change it on a whim because they're annoying like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll let you write all your articles and then change it just in time for you.
Standard RFU.
Well, mate, shall we get the views of a former England international and a former Wales international in the form of George Cruz and Dom Day? Should we pass over to them?
I think they might have a slightly more expertise than us on the subject, so let's throw it over.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think they probably will have a little bit more nuance. Although maybe they're just biased too, but they might have a bit more nuance than us. So here we go. Here's our chat with George and Dom. George, Dom, hello guys. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you both doing?
Very good, thank you.
Very good, thank you. Cheers for having us on.
No worries at all. No problem. Just bit of setup, guys. Bit of context. Where are you both in the world at the moment? I think George is probably a bit more exciting than you and I, Dom. But where are you both? At the moment,
yeah, I'm over in Japan at the moment. Got another three and a half months over here. Weather's just starting to pick up. Borders are starting to open a little bit. So yeah, good times.
Nice, Dom.
Yeah, I'm in not so sunny Dublin.
Hey, there's worse places to be fair.
There's worse places. It's a
100%.
Nice. And how's it going over in Japan, George? I've just checked the table and seen that you guys are second in Conference A, so you're not going too badly. How's it been going?
Strong due diligence, that, mate.
Mate, that's why I get the big bucks.
Yeah. That's right. We started the season with two games of COVID where we couldn't play, and obviously like they get the points. So, yeah, and we've won all the rest of the games. So, yeah, it's going all right. Strong position. We're playing two decent teams coming up this weekend and next weekend. And yeah, it's exciting. Like it's cool. Good rugby. Enjoying it.
Getting plenty of game time?
Yeah, enough. Like I said, it's obviously a short season and we missed two out of the five games already with COVID. And there's, every kind of week there's a few scares of, or maybe the other team's got some or so on. So you don't like, and obviously, you don't really know where you stand sometimes, but that's just the, general teams reacting to COVID and so on. So, plenty of testing. They love to go pretty deep on the nose swab. So, with a guy as big a nose as mine, it's pretty offensive. But, it's good. It's good. Really enjoying rugby. Really good group of people. Japanese are super friendly. We've got a decent team, so it's enjoyable.
Nice, good stuff. And Dom, you mentioned you're supposed to be playing rugby this weekend, which is kind of storm and COVID permitting, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, well, I'm playing for a team called Malahide in Dublin, mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying it massively. It's great to be back amongst. Obviously, I retired 2 years ago, didn't touch a ball or even really do anything.
do any exercise whatsoever.
But it's good to be back out there with the lads. Like the crack is what I miss so much. Yeah. Like just like changing room kind of banter, and it's the same at every level. So yeah, really enjoying it.
So is the 4-5 CBDs done an absolute number for you? Brought you out of retirement basically.
Yes, exactly.
holding you together.
100%.
Good stuff. Well, we'll obviously get more into that later on in the episode. But if it's all right, gents, we're gonna, for obvious reasons, I'd like to chat about Wales and England and their Six Nations campaign so far. If that's all right with you both.
Yep.
Well then.
Excellent. So a little bit of a mixed start for both teams, really, for one reason or another. If we start with you and Wales, Dom, how would you make of their kind of campaign so far? Have you watched any of it for starters? And if you have, what do you make of it?
I got to be honest. After the Ireland game, I was a little bit worried. Mm. But I think Ireland are extremely clinical team, a very good side at the minute.
They're not good, Dublin.
Yeah,
especially in Dublin. But I thought they were completely different team come the Scotland game. The thing for me was just their set piece started firing. And that's something that will be really important in the England game is a set piece. They've got some very good sort of individuals in that department. So feeling more optimistic than I was after the Irish game, and I think the boys did really well against Scotland. You know, they really knuckled down and got that win.
I mean, not that worried because I'm an Englishman, but I was a little bit worried for you after that Ireland game. It was not great, unfortunately. But yeah, a hell of a bounce back. And George, same question to you. What about, again, a mixed start for England? Really, I still don't feel like we really know where they're at. But what are your thoughts so far?
Scotland, like, clearly they would have been disappointed with that. Great win for Scotland. And like, yeah, they've definitely become a bit of a team, which is kind of, it spooks us sometimes. But look, I think they would have been upset, annoyed with that. They probably had a fair good amount of opportunities, and probably a bit of luck or whatever you want to call it with the kind of Dickey stuff. And I think they'll just be a bit disappointed. But pressure's off them. The subsequent results elsewhere have pretty much gone in their favour. Yeah. You know, so that's like, well, they're second or third or so. It's not looking bad at all. Obviously, yeah, they'd have to beat France. And that's what, away, isn't it? So,
yeah,
it's going to be a big game that hopefully it will come down to that. But they look decent against Italy. But, you know, that's the way it is. I don't, you can't read too much into it. I think the game against Wales, it's good. It's good fun. It'll be exciting. I think obviously both teams have a fair amount of injuries throughout, which makes, for me, makes quite exciting seeing the new players, seeing people trying to take their chances and so on. I'd be confident on the English side there.
Of course you would. I'm glad to hear that. What is it? It's obviously, I mean, to be honest, I feel like England have a bit of a rivalry with everyone. I think everyone just kind of hates them. But is there a specific thing with the way, like Wales-England week, you guys have obviously both been a part of lots of weeks like that. Is there a specific thing? Why does it feel like it's such a big rivalry?
History, maybe?
I've played in Wales and I've played in England, and I've got to be honest, the hatred from Wales going, the Wales to England compared to the other way seems to be a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's a generally about right for England to be.
And pretty up every other nation.
Yeah.
It is kind of sort of bred into the rugby community from a young age. And it's good to have, right? It's great to have, because then you've got these games like the England-Wales games and everyone looks forward to them. And especially when there's a lot on the line, like this game, even though it's the middle of the tournament, there's heaps to play for.
Yeah,
if teams want to stay in contention for the tournament. I just remember sort of I signed for Bath and I went over and I was like, oh, these lads are actually all right. These are
not all terrible people.
Yeah. So it's just 50 miles from Bath.
Yeah, they're basically Welsh, those lot. So, obviously, hence the name of your company, 4-5. You guys both played in the second row, for those that don't know. What are you thinking about the second rows for your respective countries? What kind of shape do you think they're in? Again, Dom, if we start with you, what kind of shape is that Welsh second row in right now and looking ahead to kind of next year?
Yeah, I think Adam Beard he's still a youngster and he's a brilliant player. I think he's not been performing to his best this Six Nations, but I think Will Rowlands has just been magnificent. Like his ball carrying, his set piece, his defence. I think he's been one of the stand-up players. And obviously you've got someone like, I think we are a bit weak there at the minute in terms of backup, and the sooner you can get Alan Wynn back in the mix, like he has been for what seems like the last 30 years, the second row. When we can get him sort of back in the mix, he's going to be I still think he's going to be pivotal for the World Cup in France. Just you know, just his character, you know, he still performs, and his character around the team and the way he sort of pulls everyone together is going to be hugely important. So for me, it'd be those three that will be the leaders going into next year, the World Cup.
Yeah. Okay. And George, what about you? It's kind of a position that England have been, with people like yourself, with kind of been blessed with a lot of depth over the last few years. How do you see us kind of shaping up at the moment?
There's always been a good four or five sort of players to pick from, which is healthy. You know, breeds competition, and Eddie's done a good job of making sure that they compete hard. I think at the moment, maybe a couple of injuries and maybe a couple of people have moved on. And I think it brings that new sort of balance between them. I think they'll be definitely finding an out-and-out to partner with Maro, whether it's Hill. But then people like Nick Azikwe, obviously, with him being at Sarries for so long, we'd have both experienced a good bit of him. And yeah, he's a good player. He's very athletic. There's stuff that he'll be able to do that plenty others won't be able to do. So I think if he can build up a few caps, that could be a good looking for him for next year. But Ewell's, Laws, Maro, depends where you want to play him, how you want to play him, between kind of second rows and six. There's a good stock there. And obviously with Launchbury as well, a good old head and a fairly big unit as well. So there's plenty of stock there.
There's definitely space for George Cruz there in the future though, isn't there?
Look, mate, never say never. Obviously it's everyone's passion and aspirations to play for their country as many times as possible. I've definitely had a really good run there, thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, like I said, never say never. We'll see what the next few months bring.
Well, Dom, you asked the question that I wanted to ask, so thanks for...
It made
my life a lot easier. So, George, I don't want to press you too much on it. Obviously, you've said never say never, which we can kind of part for now. But genuinely, do you have much contact with any of the guys or with Eddie Jones, or is it just kind of you're in Japan, you're doing your thing, and then just see what the land lies like when you come back?
I think with players who have been inside, camps for a while, there's always going to be communication, especially. With people with the possibility to come back, pre-World Cup year, I think there's always going to be communication. But yeah, like a lot of those guys, especially those Sarries guys, are some of my best mates. So there's plenty of talk back and forth. A few WhatsApp groups part of and so on. But yeah, like I said, look, you're not going to get much out of me, mate. I'm straight batting this till the cows come home.
That's fair enough, mate.
It's very much a. I'd love to. Let's see what happens.
Fair enough. Well, all that's important is that everyone knows that you taught Maro everything he knows, right?
You said it. It was actually Dom.
Right. So back to the Six Nations. So we've kind of heard from both of you there about the campaign so far. George, you told us that you think England will beat Wales. Dom, are you thinking Wales will beat England or anything more spicy for us? What do you reckon?
I think that if we can get our set piece going, we've got a hell of a chance. I think we've got some real dangerous players. It will just be a case of just being able to get the ball in hand and play the Wales play the way that Wales want to play, which is just some good attacking rugby. Mate, of course I'm going to go Wales side.
Good man. Good man.
You lot always write us off. Always write us off. Just like the 2015 World Cup all over again, and then we went and knocked you out. On your own turf.
Just throw that back 7 years ago. But that's all right. That's okay.
It's the only thing I got, mate.
No, you're entitled to that. You're entitled to that for sure.
Not having it.
Can I trouble you both for a score prediction for the England-Wales game?
I've been confident before and kind of had my knees blown out. So I'm going to continue being confident. I think it's going to be like a 25-11.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
26-11. Nice. I'll go 26-11.
All right. Nice.
I think I'm going to go for 23-21 to Wales.
Oh, okay. That'd be a good game. That'd be kind of indicative of the campaign so far. Most games have been pretty tight. Okay. Well, we'll revisit.
Is there a couple of red cards in that for England or what?
Well, we're going to have a chat left before the game. So
we'll
cards in there to help us on the way.
Red card, couple of disallowed tries for England, that kind of thing. So outside of England and Wales, it's a fairly obvious question, really, with how the results have gone. But who's kind of impressed you elsewhere in the Six Nations?
Yeah, like answers itself, I guess. France looking good. Yeah. They're. I do like how they've come back in because, you know, it's been quite painful to watch sometimes, I imagine, as a if you were a French fan for the last kind of 10 years, it's, you know, there's so much potential, but just never quite bring it together.
Yeah.
And I think for the game, I think for, you know, it's always nice seeing a home team in a World Cup sort of doing it, especially a Northern Evans Hemisphere team as well. So, yeah, it's exciting. They've got a good, young, like, unbelievably powerful, sort of explosive bunch of players. And, they also play a good bit of Joué. So, they're good to watch. And I do enjoy that.
Yeah, like they've got a scary pack, haven't they?
They do, don't they?
Absolutely monsters.
Giant pack, like, so big. But that first, watching Ireland playing that first game was... The skill level was unbelievable. Like their starter plays, like it was also a huge loss to lose Johnny Sexton because he kind of bosses those sort of starter plays and just that phase play really, and that's where they're so strong. But obviously, I think France will win, but I just really enjoy watching Ireland at the minute. I think they're really destructive, and just that the skill level that they play with at the minute is really good.
Yeah. Do you think a Grand Slam for France, Dom?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
And well, that means they've got to beat Wales, though. watch him do a U-turn on this one.
I think it'll be a Grand Slam for France. Like the toughest game they got probably will be England, and they got them at home, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I think the writing's on the wall for him.
Yeah, okay. And George, who do you think is going to win the whole comp?
England,
good man. There he is.
Stupid question.
Good stuff. Just a quick...
closely followed
by France. All right. And then just to finish on the Six Nations. Are there any particular? Well, for kind of both teams, actually, England and Wales, are there any youngsters that are coming through that are particularly impressing? We're kind of starting to see more guys coming into the fold now, which is obviously always exciting and fun. Are there any specific players? You don't have to go just from your own country, but are there any specific players that you guys are excited about?
I'll go. Go on. And I will go from my own country. Like, clearly, there's a heaps of hype around your, you know, your, and there has been for a while, your Marcus Smith, your Don Brandt, your Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, that is, there is heaps on that. But I think Joe Marchant is decent player, you know. I think he's... Yeah. I really like what he's about. I like he's also a very nice guy, you know, and he's switched on enough to, you know, to take a bold call to go away to New Zealand, you know, enjoy a bit of a life experience, but also learn, you know, a different type. I think that's quite at the period he was in the mix, so it's a huge call. I think although he's from Quinns, I do think he is a decent guy. I think he's he plays really well. He's just exciting to watch. Yeah, I'm a big fan of him.
Where do you see him playing more often? Do you like him at 13 or on the wing?
Yeah.
Or you're not that bothered.
I'd go 13, but
but Manu's England back, haven't so. Been
England haven't been settled in that 12, 13 for a good while. So, you know, and there's pros and cons to that. That's not all bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think long term maybe 13.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Nice. It's a good shout. Dom, what about you?
I think Tane Basham is a brilliant player. He's destructive ball carrier, like great over the ball, great defender. He's got a lot of, I guess, the bit of Tom Curry about him in terms of the way he plays. I think I know Tom Curry's young, but he's also young, and I think he's going to be there for the long term in Wales. And it's someone I love watching because I kind of love like really small nippy backs is Darcy Graham. I think he's a really exciting player for Scotland. He reminds me of Shane Williams.
Yeah.
I just love that when the little guys do so well and so he scores some amazing tries. So he's and he's very strong as well. So they'd be two players that I enjoy watching.
Yeah, it was a pretty outrageous finish from him against Wales, wasn't it? Taking Zammit on the outside and then just like shrugging him off.
Yeah,
it's pretty outrageous. And Tane Basham has got surely the best name in rugby at the moment. What a name that is. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a premium one.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts on the Six Nations. Always good to get insight from guys who have kind of been there and done it. So thank you very much. Now, if we'll open it out a little bit to what you guys have been up to kind of in the, well, not quite the day job. But for you, George, but almost the day job. The 4-5 CBD, we've had you on before to talk about it, George, but since we've had you on, it's kind of, the whole landscape's changed, really. It's kind of kicked off a bit since then in a really good way. So just broadly to start with, can you guys kind of give us a bit of an idea of what's been going on and just kind of how far it's come since you guys had the idea?
You know, it dragged kind of Dom into full-time, you know, and either, you know, soon enough, I imagine it could drag me into full time. We've been building our we're responsible for people now. It's just kind of the blind lead. Right, we've got seven employees. It's a bit like it's a bit crazy in terms of, you know, we've got to manage that properly. It's a brilliant learning curve for us. Other things, like we're in Boots. We've launched our nutrition range, which is like actually a really decent, well formulated kind of, not just for bullshit marketing claims. It is a, are you allowed to swear on that? You might have to tag that one out.
We can bleep. We normally do, but we can bleep you if you'd like us to.
Apologies. So like really decent quality product. In Boots, in Next, going into a few other retailers soon enough, which is exciting. And just like really bulking out what, you know, what our offering is. We've now become official wellness providers at Saracens, at Leicester Tigers, also the Saracens Women's and the Mavericks, which is a netball team. Really getting stuck into, I think we're at that phase where we've kind of built the company and now we can actually start really accelerating. So for us, it's hugely exciting. Something we're really passionate about. And I guess for us, like we're at a spot where we've done or just, you know, at the tail end of our careers in rugby. And a lot of like what we think about now is like, how can we, you know, continue to be as active as possible? How do we like almost age, but age actively and keep sort of keep our bodies in good check? And a large part of that is our wellness nutrition sort of CBD offering. And that's what we're quite passionate about, and you know, how we can then transfer that to other people who are in similar positions, whether it be, you know, people who want to play golf for longer, or whatever, it's, you know, yoga or whatever. So that has got us going a bit. There's heaps of opportunity at the moment, which we're pretty excited about.
Good stuff. And Dom, you're, like George said, you're kind of in it more full time. So how's that been? Have you been enjoying it, going from kind of that kind of side hustle kind of thing to the full-time gig?
Yeah, it's the real world, isn't it? It's certainly different to turning up every day and going to the gym and throwing a ball around, but you know, it's challenging in a different respect. So no, like really enjoying it, and you know, like George is doing himself a disservice there. He's so what George never really tells anyone, he's usually sat at his computer straight after training until about 11 o'clock at night, like working. So although he would be coined as not full time, he's very much there most of the time, which is great for us as a company. So but yeah, like hugely exciting, big year coming up for us. Like George said, being actually having staff and being in charge of people is something that we never thought would happen a couple of years ago, but things have just sort of clicked for us, and yeah, looking forward to the next 2, 3, 4 years, what it'll bring.
So what is the kind of plan and direction for 2022? You both said it's going to hopefully be a big year. Is there much you can tell us about now? Or
yeah, so we've got a couple more retail listings coming up. I think what we're really excited about are kind of the partnerships that we're building up. George has mentioned a couple of them there, and that's something that we really want to get the product in the right people's hands. And you know, obviously we've got partnerships like Saracens and professional sports partnerships. Also outside of that, you know, we want to create products that benefit everyone. So for us, yeah, this year is mainly just getting the products more accessible for people, whilst also developing more products that we think people will need, people that will help people sort of live that active lifestyle.
And what kind of feedback have you had on the product so far? Like obviously the testimonials on the website and stuff are pretty positive. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about some of the feedback you've had?
Yeah, with our nutrition bits, you know, that has been an easy sell into sort of professional clubs and so on, because, you know, the nutritionists there take a good look at actually what is in the product, how they're formulated and what goes into it. What surprised us like massively was when we actually looked, and Dom, when we got nutritionists to look at the products we were taking for our careers, like it is a bit of a shock factor when you look at everything is purely, it's like bang on just to make a medical sort of marketing claim, you know, right. And the products, more or not, are pretty average, and they are like the wrong sort of like compound, you know, there's it's just a lot of it is purely for marketing. So for us, we're just trying to shake that up a bit, create a product first, and then, you know, if you know that's meant to work, and then if it works into marketing claims and so on, then brilliant, we can push them. But that's why I think we got really good reception from nutritionists, and it's been a lot easier sell than I thought it would be to clubs and to partnerships who I guess ultimately will want their players having the best quality product. So that for me is like really exciting, and something which I think kind of bypasses all the the fakeness around the marketing and so on. It's such an eye-opener, you know, when you kind of get involved and all of the like how stuff is marketed, it, for me, has been huge, and I'm glad we can kind of cut through that a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like, you know, particularly when you're talking about health and wellness, it sounds like you're on the right track, being as honest and kind of transparent as possible. So,
yeah, but I mean, like, it clearly works, you know, for others in terms of it's quite hard to explain to people, right? Well, you'd need this for this, and this is why you probably would want to pay a bit more, because the other stuff just passes straight through your system or so on. So, yeah, it's all part of the challenge of creating a more premium product, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. That obviously your kind of range has grown a lot since just kind of starting out with the CBD, but there'll be plenty of people listening to this, I would imagine, that have maybe heard of CBD or think it's like weed or whatever. Can you just explain a little bit about actually what it does, why it's safe, why you don't get high from it, and all of that? Just kind of the general CBD spiel.
The general spiel, yeah. So to put it really simply, so CBD is just one compound that comes from the hemp plant. So there's like hundreds of compounds, and CBD is just one of them that we isolate, we pull it out, and research has shown that it's got like many, many benefits. So we then put that into a format, which is like our range is capsules, a spray format that you spray under your tongue, and also like balms and kind of topicals that you'll rub sort of directly onto wherever you feel you need it. But yeah, you know, I guess to talk from our experience, we use CBD as part of our sort of recovery protocols in rugby and when we were injured, and that's what really sold us on it, and that is a big part of the feedback we get from customers as well. So as to the reason you don't get high, so the compound that from the cannabis plant, which is slightly different to the hemp plant, but the compound that you would get high from is called THC. So we strip all of that out. So we use just a CBD isolate. So there's no THC in our products, no detectable amount of THC. So that's why you wouldn't get high using our products.
Have you found that a difficult at all to kind of overcome? Because I think it's obviously becoming much more, I'm not sure acceptable is the right word, but for lack of a better one, it's more acceptable. And particularly, you know, like when you look at the American sports scene, it's used a lot, particularly with fighters and that kind of thing. Has there been any objection from anyone that you've tried to pitch to or anything like that about the kind of connotations with cannabis?
Yeah, I think, look, there is a stigma around it, no doubt. It's definitely more accepted than it was even when we started 2 or 3 years ago. And I think when you look, America is a difficult one to look at, because I think cannabis as a whole is more accepted in America than it is the UK.
Yeah.
And particularly in sport, right? Because, like, for example, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, they don't test anymore for cannabis in sport. Mm-hmm. So that's different to the landscape in the UK. But it's definitely something that, like I said, there is still a stigma around it, but that is something, that's why we're focused on education, right? Because that's the key thing to unlocking this market in the UK, is just educating people around what it is, what it isn't, what the possible benefits, and sort of using kind of use cases and research to show people like exactly what it can do and why you should possibly accept it and use it in your daily routine.
Yeah, okay.
I think we prepared for like lots of heat, especially like two rugby players going into, you know, cannabis based product. Like we did prepare, but there wasn't a lot, and if anything, it was just more genuine intrigue, genuine questions, and you know that there's some decent studies happening at the moment. And I think from our point of view, everything, like, we've always just been at the front of kind of getting it tested to the highest level we possibly can, which is, you know, I guess with our, I guess whilst we're still playing, we're running a company, which, you know, so you kind of have to have the best testing to, you know, to guarantee that you, you know, yourself's not going to get done on a banned substance. So for everything was geared towards that, and when we started, you know, the products in the market just didn't have that level of testing. So yeah, so for us it was an absolute must, and like Dom said, along with education, we think it's the route forward.
Yeah, okay, well that all makes sense and hopefully clears up any doubt for anyone that wasn't entirely sure what it was. So thanks for that. And then kind of finally from us, is there we've spoken a little bit about what's to come hopefully this year. Do you guys look much more long-term than that? Is there a kind of a long-term goal or ambition for the company, or is it just kind of keep evolving and just keep kind of going with whatever happens?
Yeah, for me, I reckon we're thoroughly enjoying the process so far. Me and Dom aren't sick of each other yet.
It's because you're in Japan.
He might be sick of me, but it's, you know, we've been in it for 3 years now. We've done a lot of the hard graft, and for us, it's going to be now we're going into that phase of probably just ending startup into a bit more scale up. So really looking at these sort of partnerships, looking at more retail, looking at what we can do with our website, and just bulking everything out. That is so exciting, having done all the, you know, the bit more mundane stuff. So yeah, I think it's probably, you know, month by month, year by year type scenario, very much like, you know, our careers so far. It's kind of been week by week, so just trying to build, trying to learn. It's exciting, you know. We are rugby players who haven't had an opportunity like this, and then, you know, you get stuck into, you know, pitching boots and you know, speaking to some ridiculous investors and all this sort of stuff. So for us, it's a massive eye opener, like very at the front of our, you know, business learning curve, but really learning quickly. And for me, definitely enjoying it, like really enjoying it.
Good. Anything extra from you, Dom?
No, I'm just interested to see what team George signs for when he comes back to the UK.
You are asking all my hard questions. I love that. That's so good. Any talks yet, George?
Oh, plenty of talks, mate. Yeah. I've got some decisions to make in the next week or so.
Okay, interesting stuff. All right, so you might be hearing something soon.
Yeah, I think you will be, for sure.
Excellent. Very exciting. Well, guys, I really, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your time. I know you're both very, very busy people, so I really appreciate you syncing up and getting on with this. Good luck for the company. Good luck for the rest of the rugby season. And George, it'll be good to see you back on home soil playing for someone, but we'll see who.
Playing for someone. Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, cheers for having us on as well.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And that does it for episode 25 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by Ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. Thanks again to George Cruz and Dom Day for coming on. It's great to chat to them. And you can head to the Ruck shop to check out the Ruck bundle from 4-5 CBD, which gives you £50 off for a limited time only. It's been exclusively designed for the rugby lover in your life. So whether your competitive days are behind you or you're still trying to get out on the pitch for the last 20 minutes, this box of goodies has got everything you need to keep performing at your best. So head over to the Ruck shop. You can find the link to that down below to get £50 off the Ruck bundle from 4-5 CBD. You can find us on Twitter at Ruck Rugby and Instagram at ruck.co.uk, and just search Ruck Rugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. And you can visit our website ruck.co.uk for all of the latest rugby news and features. Links to all of our channels and to the Ruck shop for the 4-5 CBD bundle can be found in the episode description down below. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate, and share the podcast. Enjoy the weekend of rugby coming up, and we will see you next week.